Dear students, throughout our journey together so far, we've been discussing the accumulation phase of investing, which makes sense because that's important. But also important is the distribution phase. Let's assume you've been putting away money for retirement, and now you're ready to live off that retirement. We're going to take a look at a few scenarios. Bonds only in retirement, stocks only in retirement, a mixture of stocks and bonds, and then allowing a balanced mutual fund to make the allocation of stocks and bonds. So let's take a look at bonds in retirement. And this is what, 40, 50 or more years ago, you were recommended by the financial investment community, by the professionals. In retirement, you need to be in bonds because bonds are much safer than stocks. Well, that was great 50, 100 years ago, but people are living far longer. So we're going to take a look at a bond-only portfolio. Remember, investments are not FDIC insured, nor are they deposits of or guaranteed by a bank or any other entity, so they may lose value. Results shown are past results and not predictive, and nobody reads this stuff. It's all legalese. It's meant to scare you, though, because they are securities and they go up and down. And so we're going to put away $500,000. And I'm going to hope that some of you younger folks are going to accumulate a whole lot more than that. But let's say you have a $500,000 nest egg, nothing to sneeze at. We're going to start taking out 5% a year. But then what happens is every year we'll increase that initial amount, which is $25,000, by 3% to account for inflation. Because that's what inflation's been over the last 100 years or so, a little around 3%. Okay, so we're taking out $25,000 a year, and then notice it's going up and up and up and up. And the reason the first year is because we started, when did we start? We started March 1st, 1999. And we're going to do this for 25 years and see what happens. Well, what happened is the bond fund actually did fairly well through the dot-com implosion, the dot-bomb, the internet bubble. Interest rates kept going down, so bonds prices went up. And bonds didn't go down like stocks did. Until 2000, stop that, will you? Dude, my mouse is so sensitive. 2007, we had $513,000 of our original $500,000 nest egg. But then, oh my goodness, 2008, right. Treasuries held up, but corporate bonds, municipal bonds got hammered. But we started coming back, but then we never did actually get back to where we started, where we were at the at 2007. Why? It's a double whammy. Our withdrawals are getting bigger. And at the same time, after the Great Recession, after the global financial crisis, interest rates plummeted. So now our bonds are giving us very little interest. And sure enough, we're in that downward spiral, the nightmare of retirees outliving their nest egg. We put in $500,000. And this is the siren call of annuities. You can't outlive your money. Yeah, but you're not going to make that much. But remember this, $900,000 of withdrawals from that $500,000. Not too shabby, but we're in our now in our 90s, and we're out of money from our investment. That's every retiree's nightmare. And notice 4.69%, which is not bad for bonds. Not great, but not bad. And this was the advice when people retired at 65 and died at 67, right? But now people are retiring at 65 and they're going back to work at 67 because they're bored or they got a great opportunity or their spouse is kicking them out of the house because, yeah, you know, I want you out of this house. You're driving me nuts. So anyway, here's the graph. And you see, we're doing okay until 2008. And then we never really are able to recover because not only are our withdrawals getting greater, oops, come on, not only are our withdrawals getting greater, we're also getting much less interest from our bonds until 2022. And of course, we got hammered in 2022 because bond prices went down, right? The interest rates went up and bond prices went down. So it was a double whammy, a triple whammy. Our withdrawals are getting greater. We're not getting that much interest. And in 2022, bonds lost, what, 13% or so. So let's say we did everything in stocks. Not recommended. Not recommended. But hey, that's you've learned to love stocks, and you've stuck with them through thick and thin. And here is the scary part. Stay up, be afraid, be very afraid. And we're going to start with that same $500,000 nest egg. Come on, sweetheart. Here we go. We're just going to start with that same $500,000 nest egg. Again, taking 5% out annually, increasing by 3% every 12 months. And what we find is that we had an initial shock. 2000 to 2002 bear market. Yeah, it was not fun. Not fun. So our nest egg was down to 404,000, but we didn't run, we didn't hide, and 3 years later, we're coming back until 2007, 2008. Oh, and this is what? We're in our upper 70s now, and now we're getting a heart attack from watching our... But it's not typical that somebody would do this. And then we finally do come back after many years. Remember, our withdrawals are increasing. And finally, believe it or not, even with 2002, where it went down quite a bit from 462 to 343, we have taken out over $900,000 from our original nest egg, and we still have 399 left with 6.47%, which is not great for stocks, but given, you know, the 2000 to 2002 bear market, the 2008 and 2009, and then 2020 and 2022, it's not bad. So let's take a look at the graph and exactly what we'd expect. Bumpy, roller coaster, volatile stocks are volatile. Yeah, stocks are great for long term, but you got to be prepared to get hammered. And but still, you know, we're in our 90s now, and we still have a nest egg of 400,000. But what happens if we put stocks and bonds together? Well, we should expect something in between, right? And that's exactly what we're going to see. Again, scary stuff. We're going to put $250,000 into the bond fund, and we're going to put $250,000 into the stock fund. And we should see that 2000 to 2002 bear market smooth out, and that's exactly what we do. We start off, and we go down only 50,000, which, you know, not bad, 10%, when some people went down 50, 60%. Right. And then, of course, 2007 comes along, 2008. But we didn't run. We didn't hide. We came back up and... Stop it. Quiet. Sorry. And so we still took out 900,000. We still, you know, we still got a good chunk of withdrawals, and we have in our nest egg $200,000 left at 5.7%. And that's, you know, not bad, not that great, not that bad though, considering an annuity would have given us a whole lot less, and don't worry, we'll thwack annuities. But notice what happened. The stock fund has, you know, weathered the storm, but the bond fund is gone. Now, of course, you probably, you know, massage your allocation along the way, especially if you had somebody helping you. But that's exactly what we'd expect to see. The bond fund depleted and the stock fund still hanging around, even though the stock fund is more volatile. But the graph as a whole, except for 2002, 2008, and there's 2022, was a pretty rough time too. Now, here's the best part. That's why I'm a big fan of balance. This is why I'm a big fan of balance funds in retirement. Because watch what happens with a balance fund. And assuming it's a well-run, prudent balance fund. Remember, we talked about the one balance fund. This is it. That never is more than 75% stocks, 25% bonds, and never is less than 50% stocks, 50% bonds. Here's the scary part. Be afraid. Be very afraid. We're going to put all the nest egg into the balance fund. We're going to let the mutual fund managers, and some are very, very good, and some are not so good. We're going to let them decide on the allocation and keeping the balance. And sure enough, we held up pretty well 2000 to 2002. You know, went down a little bit, not bad. And then in 2008, what happened? Oh boy, everybody fell down. We went from 656 to 461. We didn't run, we didn't hide. We came back and noticed that because I'm assuming, I have to call them and ask them, I'm assuming they're looking at bonds and saying, you know what? bonds aren't that great a deal right now. They're not paying very well. So let's move on over towards more stocks. I don't know. You'll have to ask them. But look what they did. Even after 2020 and 2022, they have, again, given us $900,000 with withdrawals, but they still have a nest egg of 728. Pretty darn amazing. 7.74%. You get 7.74% from a balance fund, you'd be very, very grateful. And so because the managers did a pretty good job of moving the money back and forth between the stocks and bonds, never being too extreme, they were able to hold the nest egg's value much higher. But still, it's kind of rocky. There's 2000 to 2002. There's 2008. There's 2022. So I'm a big fan in retirement of a balance fund. Now, of course, every person is different. And if your health is very, you know, very shaky or whatever your goals are, everyone's going to have a different idea. But that's why even in retirement, we want to think about what stocks can do for us. Now, I'm not saying you should put it all in, you know, very speculative stocks, obviously, income-oriented, boring, blue chip and defensive companies, and maybe some cyclicals too. But we want to eschew, you like that word, eschew? We want to avoid those real high-flying growth stocks in retirement just because we don't have as much time to recover. Cool. Any questions? You want to see any other hypotheticals? Contact me. More money, less money, more years, less years, fewer years. Just let me know because I can talk about this stuff a lot longer than any reasonable person would ever want to listen. Thank you so much for being in our class. We are so proud of you. You are awesome. Think of how much you have learned now. You're the investment guru for your friends and family and coworkers, and it is a very important and weighty responsibility.